Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. My guest today is Syracuse Mayor-elect Ben Walsh. He was previously on the program as a candidate and also took part in a candidate's debate that aired as a special edition of the Campbell Conversations. But he's back now, having won the mayoral seat by a wide margin, running as an independent. And he's the first independent elected the mayor of Syracuse since 1913. Mayor-elect Walsh, welcome back to the program, and congratulations on an impressive victory.
Thanks, Grant. Happy to be here.
Well, first of all, let me just ask you a basic question. How's the transition been going?
So far, so good. It's been smooth. I had a chance to meet with Mayor Miner and Andrew Maxwell, who she's tapped to handle the transition on the administration's end. We met a couple weeks ago, and they shared a lot of information with me. And since then, we've followed up on a number of occasions, and every time we've asked for something, they've provided it. It helps that I have relationships with both of them and have been in City Hall, mm-hmm. So it's not all new to me. So far, so good.
And are you focusing on any areas of staffing in particular, or on trying to fill certain offices first?
So we recently announced three co-chairs for our transition team. We have Linda Lemira from LeMoyne College, mm-hmm. Sharon Owens mm-hmm. from Syracuse Community Connections or Southwest Community Center, and Chetty Hampson, who's the CEO of TCG Player. So we will next be announcing the rest of our transition team, which is broken into a number of different committees. There's an inauguration committee, which doesn't require too much deep thinking, but is important nonetheless. We have a committee solely focused on hiring. And they will oversee the hiring process. We've put a page on our website that allows anyone that's interested in working for the administration to submit their resume. Then we have three subcommittees under the broader committee of our platform, basically our policy committee. And then we also have a committee focused solely on municipal finances, understanding that that's one of the most significant challenges right off the bat is actually keeping the city solvent and working our way out of the fiscal challenges that we have. So that's the way that we have it broken up, and we'll be getting started on that process very soon.
One of the things that I think I noticed from the campaign cycle and the things that the different candidates had to say, both going back to the primary stage, but then also the general election stage, was how they characterized the Miner administration. And one of the things that struck me was, in a lot of respects, you were the most complimentary of some of the things that had been done. And you were always clear on saying, well, we have to recognize these achievements have been made. We have more yet to do. I was curious as to how much of a staffing carryover from the Miner administration you would expect. Do you have any sort of general sense of that as you're thinking about the transition?
We're figuring it out as we go here. There will definitely be some holdover. I've said from the beginning changes need to be made, but I'm not going to make changes just for the sake of change. We now have in front of us all of the at-will employees at the City of Syracuse that serve at the pleasure of the mayor. That includes all of the department heads. So I'm literally going department by department, looking at the roster. And again, given the fact that I spent 6 years at City Hall, I know a lot of these people, and I have a pretty good sense of which ones I want to keep and which ones I might be looking for change with. So there will be some continuity for sure, and I think, mm-hmm. frankly, that helps in the transition. But there will absolutely be changes. It will be it will be clear that it's my administration, it's a new administration.
And are there any specific positions that you regard as, this one is key, I've got to make sure that I really take my time here and get this one right?
Boy, it depends on the day and what list I'm looking at. But I think from the beginning, even throughout the campaign, everyone agreed that the next police chief is a critically important role. Chief Fowler has indicated that he intends to retire at the end of the year, so we know change is coming there. So I've spent a lot of time thinking about that and, more importantly, talking to people in the department, outside of the department, who have expertise in public safety and doing a lot of listening. Same thing for the fire chief. Chief Lenertz is also retiring, so we know there's going to be change there. So it's those positions where I've anticipated changes from the beginning, where I'm really focused right now. But again, I'm looking department by department, and there'll be a number of other changes at the top and in a number of departments.
So you mentioned earlier the city's financial position, and I imagine that you're taking another close look at the city's financial books. Have you learned anything of significance there that you didn't already know?
Not at this point. Again, right now I'm really focused on the transition process and, mm-hmm. and making sure, you know, the fact that we have a committee solely focused on finances, I think shows the level of importance that I place on this issue. And but I also acknowledge that I have a lot to learn and that there are experts in the community in a number of different areas that that can help me to get my head around the issue. So the first step is really bringing those folks together and for all of us collectively to get our heads around firmly around the situation and then to begin exploring potential solutions. And you know, I talked about some of those during the campaign trail, but I was also very open and honest with the fact that there is no magic bullet here. There's these challenges are not new, you know, it's one thing that I gave credit to Mayor Miner for is, you know, she worked very hard to work through those issues over the course of her 8 years in office, and in doing so managed to keep the city solvent. Haven't completely resolved the problem, but you know, it's again, there's no easy answers out there. So my focus is getting the right people around the table to make sure we have a firm handle on the problem and then start working towards solutions.
Do you think that bankruptcy is a real possibility for the city?
It is not something that I've put much thought to, frankly. You know, my feeling is given the team that I anticipate pulling together and given my existing and hopefully future relationships with our partners at varying levels of government, that we're going to figure this out. We're going to work our way out of this problem, but not without making some hard decisions along the way.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Ben Walsh, the mayor-elect of the city of Syracuse. I was curious to know whether the experience of the campaign and the election has changed anything about your plans going in as mayor compared, say, to your thinking about the city at the outset of the campaign. I mean, what things changed in your mind from having the experience of running that campaign?
Well, I said throughout the campaign, and I certainly feel it today, that I've learned a lot more about my hometown, things that, you know, I thought I pretty much knew everything about Syracuse. I've spent most of my life here. And, you know, I went to places that I had never been to. I met people that I had never met. And so I've learned a lot about myself and our community in the process. And the thing that I'm most proud about at the end of this campaign is the broad, diverse coalition that we pulled together that transcended political boundaries, racial boundaries, cultural boundaries. And if anything, that experience has really strengthened my resolve to ensure that that coalition translates from the campaign trail into governing, and that it's so critical not only to maintain that coalition but to build it, to make sure that everyone in Syracuse, when they look at my administration, when they look at their city government, that they feel like it does truly represent them.
I wondered whether your campaign and your election somehow had a synergistic quality with the national political scene, not in the sense that it's going to drive something in the future at the national level. I've read some things about that. Frankly, I discount that. But what I'm more curious about is having that diverse coalition and having also people from the Republican side and the Democratic side be part of your campaign. I wonder if, given the current political climate, there was kind of a cathartic or, you know, reinvigorating quality of just having that experience that people expressed to you or that you picked up as a vibe over the course of the campaign.
Yeah, you know, I've tried not to read too much into this particular campaign and how it might provide insight into the national political landscape. To your point, I don't know that it necessarily does. But I do think, just judging by my own experience and those of my friends and family and supporters, last year's presidential election absolutely had an impact on people in a variety of different ways. In many, it compelled them to get more involved in politics. It also, I think, so that, you know, that drive to be part of the change that you wanted to see in the community, I think that helped me. I also think that the way in which I ran the campaign in the optimistic and hopeful way in which I talked about the future of the city resonated with people at a time when and the fact that when I did talk about that, I talked about how we would accomplish it together, and I had a very inclusive message at a time when the rest of the country feels very divided. I think that there was that resonated with people. People don't want to be divided. They want to find common ground, and I hopefully helped to lay the foundation for people coming together in a way, again, that doesn't just have an impact on the campaign trail, but ultimately has an impact on how we govern our community.
I think it was also really, and this is a statement about all four of the candidates, but all things considered, it was a remarkably civil campaign. I mean, we've certainly seen a lot less civil ones across the nation, but even in this area, if we go back a few election cycles.
Yeah, and I give credit to all the candidates for playing their part in that. I do think that people are tired of the bickering and the partisan politics, and again, the fact that I am not affiliated with a party and talked about that openly again did resonate with people. So it's an exciting time, and I'm excited to move forward with it.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Syracuse's mayor-elect Ben Walsh. Well, one question I obviously want to ask you is, have you had any conversations with Governor Cuomo yet?
I have. So the governor reached out to me. Boy, I guess we're coming up on 3 weeks since Election Day. So about a week after after the election, we had a great conversation. We started off fairly light talking. The governor was talking about the special bond between father and son being elected to office. And
yeah, he has something to say about
that. Yeah, absolutely. So that was fun. And he knows my father from the time when he ran Housing and Urban Development down in Washington, and my dad was the chair of the VA HUD Appropriations Committee. So they actually spent some time fishing out on Skaneales Lake. So there's a relationship there. So we talked a little bit about that, and I told him I was anxious to get him back out to the Finger Lakes and do some more fishing. I'm not sure how much time I'm going to have for that, but that's where we started. And I did take the opportunity to I figured I shouldn't push it with my priorities, so I decided to pick one, and I talked about Route 81 and the fact, given the fact that issue really rests with state DOT right now. I took the opportunity to, number one, to make sure that he understood where I was on the issue, which is that I'm a strong advocate of the community grid option. Mm-hmm. I told him that I thought that his staff at Department of Transportation had done a good job working through all the issues, doing their analysis, but frankly that I and others were frustrated that the process was taken at least partially out of the hands of DOT, based on some other interests that don't support the community grid option, and that I thought at this point it's really important that we keep the process moving forward, and that everyone feels like we're stalled right now. So I encouraged him to work with his team at DOT and to move forward. And if he was looking for consensus locally, what I could tell him is that with the groups that I've been engaging with, for people city residents and those that are really engaged in the process, I think the vast majority of those folks do support the community grid option. That doesn't mean I discount those that don't support it, but the time is now to move forward, and I know he heard that message loud and clear.
Are there other important local political figures or folks that have an impact on policy that you've had important conversations with, county executives, say, chancellor of Syracuse University, perhaps some of the leaders of the hospitals?
Yeah, I've spoken with many local leaders at this point. I did have a brief conversation with Chancellor Siverud, and we look forward to getting together soon and talking in greater detail. I had a conversation with Congressman Katko. I've had a couple conversations with County Executive Mahoney. I've talked to, I think, all of the common counselors at this point, Chairman McMahon at the legislature. And I think across the board, we all acknowledge that we're not always going to agree on every issue, but that there is a real sincere desire to work together and to if there are disagreements, to work through them. But I think collectively, the message that I've heard both from our leaders and from those in the community is we all feel like we have a window of opportunity here where people are excited and hopeful for the future of the community, and it's incumbent upon all of us, especially the leaders, to capitalize on that opportunity and to move this community forward.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guest is Syracuse Mayor-elect Ben Walsh. You mentioned John Katko there just a minute ago. One of the issues that was discussed in the campaign was the role of the city mayor in local versions of more national political conversations that involve national policies and the president, including protests against some of those policies. So you described during the campaign that you were more comfortable with a more kind of subtle conversational role in that regard rather than being out leading public protests. And I wanted to ask you about this, sort of that being the departure point, that Congress is currently working on a significant revision to the tax code. It seems to be working its way through. As it's currently taking shape, it would change the way a lot of Syracuse residents pay their taxes and the amounts that they can deduct versus, you know, the standard deduction versus state and local tax deduction and mortgage interest deduction. Congressman Katko has voted in favor of the House version of that plan. What's your view of the tax revision plan so far? Do you have thoughts that you've developed on that?
I have had conversations with Congressman Katko about it. I've had conversations with the community about it. You know, I think it might have been the day before Election Day. There was a rally downtown where I showed up and I expressed my concerns about the tax bill, and I still have all of those concerns, and I've expressed them to Congressman Katko. Specifically the state and local tax deduction, also the federal historic tax credit. That's something that's fueled a lot of the investment in downtown, and it was ironic that when we were out for the rally, we were standing across from the Hotel Syracuse, probably the most significant example of a project that benefited from the federal historic tax credit. So I do have real concerns about it. I think where, getting back to your earlier point, you know, my preference is to convey those concerns directly to, you know, the appropriate party, in this case, Congressman Katko. And again, I did. A week or so ago, I attended a CNY Solidarity Coalition meeting, and they've really been probably the most vocal and public group that's been out protesting the tax bill. And we had this very conversation: what is the appropriate role for me in this process? And what I explained to them is that, you know, again, I don't have any problem expressing my concerns, but more often than not, it's not going to be in a way that has me, you know, leading the charge at a public protest. You know, what's important for me is to be able to have the relationships, whether it's with Congressman Katko, whether it's with County Executive Mahoney, where I can have those conversations. And if I'm out protesting them all the time, I suspect eventually they're going to stop returning my calls and my texts. So it's a delicate balance, And I shared that with them. I think everyone understood and appreciated where I was coming from. I'm not always going to agree with local leaders, but I think it's important to continue to maintain and nurture those relationships so we can have those conversations. And more importantly, when we do agree, that we can work together and get things done.
When economic revitalization for Syracuse and the broader region gets discussed, and also when possible changes to the structures of local government get discussed, other cities' experiences are always invoked. So, you know, we've heard these before. I mean, we look at Nashville, Louisville, Durham, Indianapolis, Burlington, Vermont. The list goes on and on. I was wondering if, based on your experience, are there particular aspects of Syracuse, whether it's the demographics, the geography, the history, the culture, some other factor, that make it problematic to apply other cities' experiences here? What is it about Syracuse that might make it tough to just say, okay, let's do what was done here and transplant it to Syracuse?
You know, I don't think that there's anything that unique about us that makes it that much harder to accomplish any one change. I think, if anything, you know, the biggest challenge that I've seen in enacting any kind of change is, and I talked about a little bit on the campaign trail, is we as a community are relatively risk averse. And I think, you know, that's for some understandable reasons. I mean, we've seen we've been on hard economic times for decades now. And so people, and every once in a while, a big idea or a big project comes along and people oversell it and it's going to solve all of our problems. And the reality is that, you know, it took us decades to get into the current economic condition that we're in, and it's going to take a long time to get out of it. So there's no, you know, again, there's no silver bullet here. But because of those tough losses over the years, it's hard to get people to take some risk, to give a project or a person the benefit of the doubt. And so, you know, I've stressed that we really do need to push ourselves to not to be reckless, but to take calculated risks when we think that there could be a significant return on investment. And that means starting at City Hall, when somebody comes to City Hall with an out-of-the-box idea. You know, there were too many times during my 6 years where the immediate response was, no, we can't do that. We've never done it that way. And I've, you know, I want to establish a culture where we are open to new ideas, and doesn't mean we're going to say yes every time, but if we're going to say no, it's going to be no, but let's see how we can work something out. So I think, you know, again, being willing to take some more calculated risks, be open to bigger ideas, and also on a related note, to get away from, you know, what my former boss called the self-imposed inferiority complex that we have in Syracuse, where, you know, sometimes we're our own worst enemies and we're often more down on ourselves than others are. It's really a culture, it's a mentality, it's a psyche, but nothing other than that, nothing really holding us back.
We just got a few seconds left, but I want to try to squeeze this last question in. You emphasized during your campaign, and I think we're pretty roundly complimented on this, finding, and these are your words, finding and nurturing bonds that bring us together. But, you know, there were many people who commented that in their experiences with you, you were very interested in hearing alternative voices. You just mentioned talking to the Solidarity Coalition. I'd be curious if you can, in 30 seconds or less, tell me how you might see building on those proclivities to really activate more community engagement. In other words, how do you turn good intentions and goodwill into action in that regard?
One starts with the team that I'm building and making sure that it's as diverse and inclusive as my campaign team was, and as I've talked about throughout the campaign. I think that's the most important thing. Well, I think the other thing is to continue to be very accessible. So, you know, using technology like Facebook Live to stream meetings, to, you know, have regular town hall meetings and other opportunities for the public to directly engage. I think, you know, where we get into trouble as leaders is when we lose touch with our constituents. So I'm going to continue to put myself in positions where I can continue to listen and learn and make sure I'm fully representing everybody in the community.
That was Ben Walsh. He'll take office as Syracuse's 54th mayor on January 1st, with the public inauguration ceremony sometime soon thereafter. Mayor-elect Walsh, good luck.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Anytime, Grant.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.